Blog Talk Radio.
This is a Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash production.
Hello, fellow pro wrestling fans. My name is John Frederickson. You are tuned in to the State of Pro Wrestling podcast here live every Wednesday, 8 Eastern, 7 Central. Let's get into it. We've got AEW, NXT, MLW just wrapped up a huge main event there on Filthy Island. We got to see Low-Ki taking on King Mo in sort of a blood sport, no ropes type match, or a Raw Underground if you're more familiar with that product type match. We'll get to the results and stuff later. Kicking off NXT tonight, they said we're going to have Kyle O'Reilly responding to Adam Cole's turn, the super kick there, Valentine's Vengeance at the pay-per-view this past Sunday. Today, though, we'll have our first show with a guest. Very excited to bring on special guest Chaz Kangas. He's a ton of experience working with radio, fellow freestyle rap artist, former battle rap genius extraordinaire. Interesting. All right. Let's see here. But, yeah, we'll be bringing him on shortly to discuss AEW, NXT. I know he's a huge fan of wrestling and hip-hop culture as well. Looks seems to be having this is my first – my first night here all by myself running the podcast. But very excited here on AEW kicking it off. This is one of the segments that I was looking forward to, is comparing the quarter hours, what we're going to see. And we've got Hardy and Hangman Page kicking it off. In tag action, sorry. I check my notes here. Them in tag action against TH2 here in their opening segment. And then we got Kyle O'Reilly here. Oh, we got to switch that. That's on AEW. And Kyle O'Reilly here on NXT. So let's cut to his audio and see what O'Reilly has to say here.
And the thing is,
try to bring Chaz on here.
You're still my brother, which is why I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt. I gotta know what that was on Sunday, man. So, Adam, I need you to come out here. I need you to explain yourself. And when you're done, I'm probably gonna punch you in the face, but I'm willing to hear you out. I'm right here, Adam.
Now here's Kyle O'Reilly calling out Adam Cole on NXT. What?
The Undisputed Era is very special. Kyle, we know Adam. And speaking for myself, I know Sunday, Adam did that based solely off of emotion. We're brothers that have it. You understand that. And I know right now, in this moment, that Adam regrets.
Buddy, I don't need you to explain it. I need him to explain it. So you coming out here on this peacekeeping mission, it's wasting everyone's time. So stop it.
So what's going on here? You see Undisputed Era cracks forming, some great, hopefully some great storytelling.
It's not that I don't trust you, Roddy. It's
you're on AEW with that.
It is that I don't trust you. I don't know who to trust.
AEW with the team of Matt Hardy trying to win over Hangman Page. I really love how Matt Hardy has reinvented himself. Almost as his manager role, but here he is wrestling it. Kind of a cool way to ease him out. All right, we are about to bring our very first guest of the State of Pro Wrestling podcast show. Test out our lines here. Here he is, none other than Chaz Kangas. Hello, hello. Chaz, can you hear me? We'll unmute your mic. Oh, here we go. Here we go. We got you live now, Chaz. How you doing tonight?
All right. I appreciate the hot tag. I'm doing well, and I'm glad to be the inaugural guest here on State of Pro Wrestling. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, you know, just about how that phone call went. You know, it's everything. We had a couple other guests fall through for tonight's show. The card always subject to change. But very excited to have you with us here. I'm excited to spend some quality one-on-one time with you tonight.
Definitely. I'm looking forward to it, too. You know, this is a fun concept. I'm excited to see where this goes. And, yeah, you know, you can't really go wrong. You got two competing promotions on a Wednesday night and just so much happening in the world of the squared circle. So, yeah, I know you have NXT on. I have AEW on currently, so I figured we could both, you know, in our own way, like, tag team what's happening. What's going on with Kyle over there?
Wonderful, wonderful. We got Pete Dunne running in here, getting jumped by Oney Larkin as well, and the Pat McAfee crew, or what you would call them. I must admit, I am not the most knowledgeable. I've kind of just dove into this concept. We had this time slot, and I said, what better way to get back into wrestling? I kind of quit watching during the pandemic. Would watch periodically here and there. Just been busy with everything, State of Pro Wrestling as well, trying to figure out what we're going to do with that. And, yeah, I fell into this awesome concept in this time slot here. Just really excited. But, yeah, let's feed back and forth. We got Finn out here. Pete Dunne is jumping Finn. I don't know if Finn was coming in to say something here or what was going on. What are you seeing there in AEW?
Matt Hardy and Adam Page were just victorious over the Hybrid 2. Matt landed a great-looking Twist of Fate on Angelico. And, yeah, just a really, really heck of a sell, a real modern Marvel. And now Matt looks like he's about to speak regarding the contract situation we saw last week. I'm going to unmute, but let me know if this is too loud, if there's feedback. I can turn it down. I'll tell you what he says.
Wonderful. Coming through great on my headset here so far.
Cool, cool.
Yeah. Regal popping up here on NXT. The message from Escobar. Sounds like we're going to get a Cross versus Escobar match. But, yeah, very excited to jump around this concept. A lot of news coming in with NXT's pay-per-view this past Sunday.
Hang on. Hang on, Adam's about to reveal what was on the contract. Oh, Matt wasn't aware of the extra set of papers. And Matt didn't read the contract.
Wow, this. I'm also realizing the direct TV live feed, a couple seconds behind the TV live feed.
Huh. It's like the 90s are back.
Yeah. I've got a slightly different channel. But, yeah, interesting. Yeah. Cool seeing Eli Drake.
The Jacksonville Jaguars. Sorry, yeah, the Jacksonville Jaguars mascot just came out, and he's handing a copy of the contract to Matt.
See, a lot of people don't like that kind of fun stuff out of AEW, but I've been enjoying it.
As am I.
It's pro wrestling. It's not can't really. You know, if you want to take something real serious, go watch UFC or something, you know?
Yeah. Let me know. Thanks. There's taste for everyone. I mean.
Yeah, I guess everybody likes what they like. They can't really.
Yeah, so apparently, like, Matt just revealed that Adam Page is facing Matt Hardy at Revolution, and if Adam Page wins, then he gets 100% of Matt Hardy's earnings at for 2021.
Hey. That's a heck of a stipulation right there. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I love what they're doing with Matt Hardy here, kind of in this redefining himself again in this kind of manager type role. Bring in part
big money, Matt.
I love this. I love this. And the recruiting of Hangman here. Still a hot property. I think still has that star potential. I remember that he's in that first title match versus Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
And just thinking about, is he the guy that put that belt on, or you know, is he still climbing his way back to that? I believe he's got that top guy potential, or at least it's somebody they could give the ball to and see, you know, see if he sells enough T-shirts and whatnot.
Oh, and the mascot reveals the hood, and it's one of the gents from Private Party. Wow. Heel turn for Private Party. Yeah. No, I definitely think Hangman Adam Page is someone who, even with all the potential he showed at that first Jericho match, has even surpassed that. Like, his, you know, self-described anxious millennial cowboy shtick, I think, is fantastic. And now the Dark Order have done a run in, and there's Brody Jr. like leading the way. This is only in AEW, man. This is great.
Dang, they've all turned on.
Oh, and Colt Cabana's got a shoe.
I love Colt.
Mm-hmm. Colt just
is
the
it true?
Best dude.
You have a song out? You have a song out with Colt Cabana? Is that true?
I do. Yeah, my 2014 album, Rex Manning Day EP, has a track where it features Colt and the rapper Boss, who's out of Pennsylvania, who makes really tremendous music, and he's also a former retired BET Freestyle Friday battle champion. But just a fantastic songwriter. And, yeah, so, and Colt's on there. It's a track called She Will Be Mine. And he is essentially the Mike Tyson to my cannabis on there, hyping me up. We sort of use that as a template. And yeah, I can't say enough truly wonderful things about Colt. Like, going back to, like, when I was living in New York and writing for the Village Voice, and just the time he'd give me for interviews to help him get here. Not to help him. He doesn't need my help. To cover him and to promote, like, the local show that he'd be involved in. And he just takes so much time with so many people, and he's so thoughtful, and he's so good at propping things up. When you look at the trajectory of independent wrestling, like, it would be a very, very different world if not specifically for a cult. So when you look at the tremendous impact that one person can make, it's a really wonderful thing. Like, I can't really think of many other people in wrestling over the course of the 2010s who had as much of an impact as Colt Cabana. So, yeah, wonderful dude. Can't say enough great things about him.
Definitely. And here on these podcast waves, he's the one who shied me away from doing a wrestling podcast, because I was like, here's Colt Cabana. You know, he's kind of done everything, or every wrestling podcast has kind of been done before. So I really shied away from the podcast world for a long time. But, yeah, seeing what he did with The Art of Wrestling, he's growing. God, what is that DVD series? Wrestling Road Diaries. It's really interesting.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, he was
so
one
good.
Of those first guys, you know, even before the Bucks and everybody, who was making decent money on the indies. Just self-made, I guess.
Yeah, you know, and both the Bucks and, Kevin Owens, back when Kevin Steen, credit Colt as really laying the blueprint, the imprint for that indie wrestling lane. And it's so surreal to watch, like, and I've been really into watching a lot of 2011, 2012 shoot interviews lately, which is kind of, it was an era before WWE Network. It was a time when, like, those waves were really starting to change. And just seeing how Colt, you know, through Art of Wrestling, just changed the dialogue, it changed the discourse. And how people discuss wrestling, both from like a current perspective as well as, you know, talking to the veterans. Because a lot of times if you watch like shoot interviews from like the 2000s and prior, it's often someone just like reading a printout of a Wikipedia and saying, oh, so in December 93, you fought this person. What are your memories of that? You know, just like really like rudimentary, like not even barely qualifying as an interview. But, you know, Colt, you know, following the inspiration of, like, you know, Mark Maron's WTF podcast, they're really bringing it into the world of wrestling. And there's just really nothing in the – and there's barely any wrestling podcast like that. And then you look at, you know, following Colt, you have, like, you know, like the Steve Austin podcast and, you know, of course, all the Conrad Thompson podcast and the Jericho podcast, like, really showing that there was a world for wrestling and podcasts was Colt Cabana. Like, you know, so many, even if you look at like the podcast that existed before Colt's show, like the whatever podcast were around in like 2009, a lot of it is just, you know, two people who just nonstop complaining, which is how a lot of people, I think, were just addressing every sort of thing in general in that snark era. But, you know, Colt really changed the game, and I think a really underappreciated aspect of Art of Wrestling with how consistent he was is how we have this time capsule of exactly who these performers were in a world like wrestling where you have people portraying different characters, different personalities, and sometimes they, even when they write their autobiographies, they could be in character or not, and often it's just like from like a soul, you know, their own soul perspective and not even so much necessarily them, but just who they want people to see them as. I think as a journalist, like Colt really cut through a lot of that. And I know he doesn't identify as a journalist, but in terms of as a conversationalist, he manages to just capture a tremendous portrait of the people who he interviewed. I think, and there's so many just invaluable, you know, even if it's like the 1 hour, 2 hour conversations that were had on Art of Wrestling. And especially now, a lot of the people who are on that show, you know, aren't around anymore. You know, Bruno Sammartino, Roddy Piper, Roland Alexander. It's just really special that he has that and that the world has that. And I also highly recommend his Patreon. It's fantastic.
Some great points there. Great points there. Yeah, definitely support Colt, man. He's done some great things. I always try to buy some of his DVDs. That last one, Funny is Money. I really appreciated that because I've always been a big fan of comedy as well. And just the joy that that's brought to people. And just a different style, like a profile like him and Grado and Kikutaro. And just a really beautiful piece. Yeah, like you say, he's got a great way to tell stories and his own form of journalism. And yeah, very inspiring to see that. Yeah, and the shoot interviews, that's another thing that got me back into the pro wrestling world. I kind of fallen into different things and different interests in my life. And yeah, watching those older shoot interviews about a decade ago or so, those RF video and so many other ones on YouTube or whatever services. I got Icebox got a bunch of those as well. But yeah, just hearing the in-depth stories, like you said, it almost was a different element because I really didn't like watching the product at that time. But it gave me, this match, like a recent one, I guess I can explain, when we were at the Xbox seminar at the Academy, and he was kind of going through explaining his King of the Ring match with Owen Hart, you know, giving that behind-the-scenes take, like, oh, he knocked me, I'm out cold here, I have no idea what's going on, I'm standing up, I'm supposed to catch him, and just hearing that, like, behind-the-scenes in the moment, what's going on, because a lot of teams, we see him as our heroes, but you fail to like realize, hey, that's a human being that's got to be on the road 300 some days and he's pulling all this off. Just the respect, a lot of people I think look at it and be like, oh, I can step in the ring and do that, and just realizing that a lot of the people can't. Another thing Ken said at the school, you know, about is it like 80-90% of the people who walked in thinking they could be a pro wrestler, you know, walked out being like, nah, I'm good. It's not just playing. So definitely love the elements. We're trying to bring the respect state of pro wrestling. I always respect everybody who steps through the ropes for our entertainment. But, here we got the second quarter kicking off here with the Inner Circle on AEW. And then on NXT, You got the women's tag team match. Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon back in action after their loss in the finals of the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. They're here. Pull up the card versus
I think one of the coolest surprises of like modern WWE or NXT is that Shotzi Blackheart went from the indies to, you know, the big stage there relatively unchanged, if at all. Like, she is just the same amazing character she was in First Wrestling, and is just it's just so awesome just to see her, you know, doing so well there. And now on AEW, we have the opening round match of the Women's Title Eliminator Tournament. And how great has it been to see Serena Deeb back?
Yeah, she's been a treat to see her against Thunder Rosa. You know, AEW's women division, definitely kind of one of their weaker points. But definitely cool to see them at this women's tournament qualifying. So, just a classic wrestling scenario as well. You know, the winner of the tournament will take on the champion. But, yeah, Serena Deeb, the technical skill and everything she brings. Still sporting that NWA Women's Championship. I'm really hoping NWA will come back as well. A lot of up in the air with COVID and everything. With the
Billy Corgan's pretty tenacious. He'll find a way.
But yeah, I would definitely, with everything going on here, I wouldn't mind. We're talking about maybe jumping and doing a Tuesday show. You say you kept up with Impact this week. They're a Tuesday program, is that right?
Yep, yeah, and I'm really, really enjoying Impact. They have Matt Stryker and D'Lo Brown on commentary, and it's just so great to hear Matt Stryker doing play-by-play again. I've always, always enjoyed his work, and he's never been better than he is right now. So between that, you know, they also have a fantastic women's division, and it's just they've just been able to just do so many just different style things. Like, there's something really refreshing to it as its own world. And I think that's like, you know, speaking to the greater picture of like what's so great about wrestling right now, you know, you look at all the different facets of things that maybe lean more towards a sports entertainment versus things that are closer to like what Ring of Honor, who's been doing great stuff right now too, is a very simulated sports style to it. Then you have like Impact just going having still some great wrestling, but also going the complete absurd route in a lot of ways right there. Like the fact that, you know, Johnny Swinger has a backstage casino that now James Storm and Chris Sabin are bonding over spending time at. It's just nowhere else could that happen. And then on top of that, you also have a main event pitcher. It really speaks volumes to how great Matt Stryker is doing. They put so much emotion in the Tommy Dreamer versus Rich Swann main event over the weekend on Tommy's 50th birthday. It's just been just really, really fun to watch. And the fact that they're not making the AEW side of things take over the entire show, but it's just kind of a thing that's kind of looming in the background. And I appreciate that sort of slow burn of storytelling. Just like how, AEW with this New Japan connection has been a real slow burn as well. It's nice having things to have things that are both unpredictable, both have things to look forward to, and both that you don't know what you're looking forward to. Like, you know, when Kenta showed up on AEW a few weeks back, how amazing was that?
Yeah, it was just very exciting because, you'd seen, like you said, the crossover with Impact and everything, and kind of teasing the Bullet Club stuff a lot, kind of this former versus current Bullet Club. I've really enjoyed the back and forth with Tama Tonga on social media. And whatnot. But yeah, just the it almost feels like the old school dirt sheets where you'd read and there'd be this speculation, what's gonna happen, and they wouldn't just give it to you. Yeah, it's just that slow burn like you talk about. It's great wrestling, great writing. So yeah, very excited about the possibilities of all that. I'm hoping all the
Serena
best.
Deeb are just tearing the house down right now in AEW. This has been fantastic. It's good seeing Riho back. I missed her.
Certainly. She was a former women's champion, is that correct?
Yep. Correct. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't been
I admit I haven't been keeping up the best, but it's been very exciting getting back in here. It's one of the things that was fun becoming a fan again, was learning all these new wrestlers, or becoming a fan of the independent scene here in Minnesota, was learning all these new wrestlers and what they were about and what they brought, the different, you know, whether they were good in the in-ring or on the mic or promos or a mixture of them all. But yeah, like you said, Chris, seeing Shotzi fairly unchanged. I was really scared when they first signed Shotzi. I was like, what? What kind of terrible rock and roll gimmick are they? But yeah, it's been fun seeing her come out there in the army tank, and this pairing with Ember Moon, I really enjoy the dynamic. Gives Ember Moon, kind of refreshes her as well.
Yeah, this is the most I've enjoyed Ember Moon in a long time. Like, it's been really fantastic. You know, and she was out for a year. She got injured, I believe, in a 24/7 title skirmish thing. So, and it really was touch and go as to whether she was going to come back or not. But, you know, I'm glad that, you know, it's been a really refreshing, really fun team. And I think it speaks to how great Shotzi is, that she has chemistry with everyone. You know, she's just such an invaluable, great part of that roster.
Yeah, great personality. One of those people that you definitely see on that main stage with the charisma and everything. I remember after one of the first shows, and she was always tearing it off in the karaoke back there.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, at the VFW hall.
Yeah. To the first shows there in Uptown.
Man, I miss shows.
Yeah, for sure. I was down there. My friend lives a couple blocks from there. I was like, I just need to walk by the building and like graze my hand against those bricks and just look around and think of all the memories from the area. Yeah, I definitely miss shows. I'm really excited about this Sunday, first wrestling show, or actually two shows. We'll be going to the late show and checking it out. But yeah, definitely excited to get back out. It's been forever. Taking all the precautions to stay safe and everything. First wrestling, I believe they've been doing it right. Super sad to miss out on WrestlePalooza this year. And speaking of these shoot interviews and whatnot, man, I am super jealous. I've been trying for years. We broke through, and we got Eric Cannon he was going to do the interview with us one night. And, of course, it was the one night that I ended up getting too wasted, so I ended up not being able to do the interview. So I'm super jealous that you got the opportunity to interview local legend here, the anarchist, Eric Cannon. Can you tell us how that came about?
Yeah, so I've known Eric since 2013, since the very first WrestlePalooza. And that was before I was living in Minneapolis. I was writing in New York for the Village Voice, and I was doing some writing on the side for City Pages out here, back when there really wasn't a whole lot of hip-hop coverage in City Pages. And Reed Fisher had just become the editor at City Pages, and was just doing a fantastic job. So he at that point, like, I'd been writing for him for about 6 months, and so he became trusting of like some of my pitches, and I saw the WrestlePalooza thing was happening, and I figured, in addition to, you know, it's at First Avenue, and it's this mixture of, you know, music and wrestling, and the fact that Eric also had the Wrestling Society X MTV connection, that it would, you know, fit in for coverage in a music part of City Pages. And so that was like the first time I interviewed them, and I remember the piece did really well, and he even sent someone from City Pages to review the first show, and they loved it. And, you know, and it's so Eric and I have been cool for a long time. And then when I moved back here in 2016, it was either 2016 or 2017 now, because we've been for a while looking for a way for me to do an interview with him that could tie in with the station. And I remember there was a September 1st wrestling event, and it was going to be happening like right after the state fair wrapped. So everyone at Go at the time were, because when in radio you have to be at those state fair things. And, you know, I love it. I love going to the fair, but it's just, so I'm not saying that begrudgingly by any stretch, but it's one of those things where, you know, you can't be in radio and not be at the state fair. Like, it's the one time a year you get to really meet with people and see everyone and shake hands and such. So, you know, it's the thing people can finally at once put a face to the voice. So everyone's like reaching out to like local artists and different people to figure out, because we're told everyone needs to find, like, you know, have at least like one interview with someone or book like one thing. And I had the thought to being the state fair is known for its tremendous amount of various wonderful beers. And being that Eric is, in a lot of ways, the face of Pabst Blue Ribbon. So being that this is the summer where so many breweries were opening in downtown Minneapolis, so many breweries were opening in St. Paul, like breweries, remember that when they were like a really hot thing again? So
yeah,
I thought,
definitely.
And so everyone was doing all this beer coverage of like, you know, the top 10 beers you've got to have at the big fair, like things like that. So I pitched the idea of like the top 10 places to get PBR at the Minnesota State Fair. And it turns out literally only one beer stand in the entire state fair had PBR. So
all right.
We decided we framed the video around the idea of, you know, the best place to get PBR at the Minnesota State Fair, and it being, you know, the only place to get PBR at the state fair. And, yeah, and I think the world of wrestling is kind of one of those things where when I cover it, it's something like battle rap. It's something where it's such a – it's a huge interest and passion of mine that I know a significant amount of like the listenership or my readership may not be familiar with. And so when I present something of that subject to them, I always want to put it in the best light as possible as almost an ambassador to, you know, I'm not calling myself an ambassador by any means, but just speaking in terms of, you know, showing this is something I really, really enjoy that I think you'll really like too. And just to allow it to have that sort of accessibility to, you know, maybe create a new fan group, maybe get someone to give it a chance who may have not even known that something like that is going on. And because my favorite thing across any sort of journalism, be it radio, be it print, is just being able to introduce people to, you know, something new they may have not seen, or maybe, you know, whether it's something it's like a new artist or something like a forgotten great record of previous years to appreciate in a new light. That's my favorite thing to do, and especially to, you know, help create new wrestling fans and help such a great scene like the one we have out here. That's something I jump at the chance to. So I figured, you know, being able to do that at the state fair, it ties in, you know, people, you know, love the idea of, you know, getting PBR at the state fair, you know, and Eric's just such an instantly just likable guy when you hear him talk and just with who he is, and he does such a great job. Like, he's a real ambassador for wrestling. I mean, he just did such a great job in that interview and in the subsequent interviews I've done with him since. Just a fantastic dude, and it was I'm happy to help evangelize for First Wrestling. And especially looking at, you know, how much great talent has come through there and continues to come through there. It's something really special we have out here.
Yeah, I've been very grateful. I mean, watching NXT tonight, you know, seeing Gargano and Candice LeRae and on AEW, especially this year, definitely one of the highlights of 2020 was seeing Top Flight. You know, that story developed with them going on Dark and getting a tryout and then getting to wrestle against the Young Bucks, dangled and then canceled and then rescheduled. And yeah, they've just been one of the great feel-good stories of this year. Definitely appreciate you coming on the show. We're here with Chaz Kangas. Man, just appreciate everything you've been able to do. Like you said, very cool. Like, as an artist myself, I'm trying to grind and find my way to make a living. But very cool that you've done that, man. You've been making a living at this journalism thing for a long time and been doing it at such a high level. Your show Sunday night, you know, where you've brought, like, a lot of light to even the local show on a radio station. That had the reach that Go did and everything. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
What you've done. And then in print, like you said, all the wrestling stories you brought, or the wrestling flavor, you know, having Colt Cabana on a track, or seeing, what was it, your WrestleMania 29 freestyle?
that was something I did for, speaking of people who have great, like, wrestling hip-hop connections, Steve Flash Juwan, who is a name that, you know, I wish every person who was a hip-hop fan knew. He's literally the first person to bring hip-hop to the internet. Like, he, back in 93, 94, started a hip-hop message board on one of those rec message board things. So he, like, quite literally was the first person to... Yeah, dude, it's before my time, dude. We're talking pre-AOL, pre-CompuServe. Like, we're going... the real, real backstage story days of hip-hop. And so he was quite literally the first person to facilitate a space for hip-hop on the World Wide Web. And he also, probably more for our time, is he's probably most known for running Ola.com, the original hip-hop lyrics archive, and RapReviews.com, which is the largest database of rap reviews in the world, or in the World Wide Web, rather. And so on top of that, he also runs Angry Marks, which is probably my favorite wrestling news aggregator site. He's got his hands in both, and he's also just a fantastic, fantastic dude. So, yeah, he's someone who should definitely be getting a lot more props. Like, you know, when the question comes up, when you see award shows or things like, you know, hip-hop honors, you think, like, who would be the person you'd, like, want to, like, you know, put, like, a massive, like, thing of honor for, like, you know, give them their moment in the sun, give them a trophy. Like, the world would be, the hip-hop world would be radically different in terms of its presence on the internet without him. A lot of people, you know, so many, you know, you have sites like, you know, like Rap Genius, which, you know, allegedly essentially took his whole lyric database. And when I say allegedly, I mean allegedly, but also actually, like, they totally did it. And, but allegedly, you know, this is how I cover my steps as a journalist. And, you know, just seeing things like, you know, like the typo is another cheap on there too. There's people can follow it. Like, they definitely did it. And, so, you know, between that and between like how many indie artists like to get the, you know, 10 out of 10 ratings, you know, on his review site, and the fact that he reviewed so much and so many different, and the fact that he's still doing it too. Like, you know, he works so hard, and you know, the dude has not lost a step. So, yeah, I recommend everyone follow him, at Angry Marks, or just, you know, search, like, you know, like Steve Flash, J-U-O-N, Juwan, like, yeah, just great dude.
Awesome, man, very interesting. That's why I love talking wrestling, too. There's so many, everybody's walked a different path and has different stories and different heroes. Yeah, that's one of the things that got me into music originally, was just, you know, going and meeting up your friends. Hey, I bought this record. I think this record's dope. Check it out. And they do the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah. So yeah. Anyway, yeah, so that WrestleMania, that WrestleMania freestyle was for his Angry Marks site. So, yeah, I think we connected like somewhere in the world. What's happening?
Yeah, it's interesting, man. I was just, it's interesting you mentioned Angry Marks there. I was just listening the other day this week to a fellow pro wrestling journalist who had passed away here in December, Jordan Garber, and they were doing a memorial show. And yeah, he had worked with Angry Marks as well. I just been trying to look and see what's out there to reach out and grow the State of Pro Wrestling brand as well. And to see, you know, everybody's been out there, the people who've been out there doing it for all these years and doing it the right way, man. That's amazing to hear all the accomplishments and everything. Like you said, it makes me want to dig into and see the history, because the way technology changed the game for music. I remember in high school, like, you'd have to find somebody who had a drum machine or something, and that was like $200, $300, $400. And it was usually like some rock guy that sucked. It was just way, way different how they revolutionized the game and everything. So,
it's
growing and
it's
learning.
It's so much easier now.
Expanding my database of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, here,
yeah,
tonight,
kind of
let's take a look at, I just want to mention MLW earlier. They had this Filthy Island. They run an hour show on YouTube from 6 to 7. And it was kind of like a UFC's Fighter Island, a bit interesting how they all kind of got these fight teams almost. But the main event was King Mo versus Low Ki, and it was run. It was kind of shot. It reminded me of GCW's Game Changer Wrestling's Backyard Wrestling show from this past summer. But then they also had the element of like Nate Barnett's Bloodsport, where it had the no ropes. But yeah, it was just really hard to watch. The announcing was. Didn't really help much, so I don't know. It was hard to watch tonight, but I've been enjoying what they've been doing.
I didn't catch, but I like I need to check out more MLW. Like, I like a lot of guys on the roster. Jacob Fatu, of course, you know, L.A. Park, Simon Gotch. Like, there's some real tremendous, like, really awesome talent. And I think – or even, like, you know, Alex Hammerstone. And I want to bring him up just because online, like, on Twitter, he got an electric guitar and did a cover of the original X-Men the theme music from the 90s X-Men cartoon. You know, the – And being I had
I'm a big
done
fan.
And I had like done an interview or a book review of the X-Men history of the animated series that had come out. So I had like you know the ear of like the people who actually worked on the show and directed the show. So I tagged him in a tweet that of him like playing the cover. And they were actually able to reach out to him and say it was the best vert cover of it that they've ever heard. So, you know, it's fun to, you know, help make people connect in, across these worlds.
Awesome, man. That's wonderful. Another thing I like about you, man, you're a great person, great human being. But, yeah, that you've been able to step on these mediums, on these big stages as a journalist and been able to be yourself and be genuine and kind of share your loves of these obscure things and be able to get them out to the masses as you've done, man. It's a lot of respect for everything you've done.
But, hey, I appreciate it, man. And I'm honored. I'm honored to be in the next game-changing thing and being on this podcast. So, yeah. So what's been going on NXT tonight?
NXT currently, it looks like we got Leon Roth in there with Shane Strickland. Strickland, man, been a big fan of his. When we went out. That's right. You were out there as well a couple of years ago, WrestleMania over in New Jersey.
And, seen him come out to seen him come out to "Ain't Nobody" by Shaka Khan in a room full of people. That was such a cool moment.
Wonderful. Yeah. Seen him here. That's another person Eric Cannon has brought in. I think Kyle Olsen has just brought that up. You know, we kind of got that match, that A.R. Fox versus Shane Strickland. Out of nowhere, it was unannounced and kind of at the end of the show. And, you know, one of those legendary first wrestling shows. Just very grateful to have the amazing scene we do here in Minnesota. And besides first, a handful of other top-notch promotions around here. And just so much indie wrestling going on. Grateful to be here. That's why we ran with the State of Pro Wrestling name. But it's been great going out. Yeah, like when we went out east, getting it. See all these other different regions because pro wrestling has really reached, you know, outside of like maybe Antarctica. That pro wrestling is every corner of the globe and everybody.
Yeah, and the only reason we haven't gotten into Antarctica yet is because a lot of those penguins can't make the weight limit.
Yeah. Been some scandals and conspiracies. I don't want to get into that right now. But yeah, it's amazing seeing the MLW roster. Like I said, I've been checking them out here and there. But, yeah, definitely a great roster and seeing what they're doing. I know they're in the works of trying to get a TV show as well. Excuse me. And then, let's see, tonight, AEW, how do you feel about this whole Sting versus Team Taz angle? Sting and Darby and the cinematic match. What's your take on that?
I'm interested. I think, you know, the cool thing about these cinematic matches is it allows for an easier connection for, you know, looking at how great the Taker-Styles match came off at WrestleMania last year. Like, I'm excited to see someone who's always been as cinematic in general as Sting and in that sort of a program. And I think, especially because I'm currently also going through watching 1997 ECW Hardcore TV. And a lot of those Taz interviews at the time when they would be done at the Team Taz Dojo or the different realms where he'd be, you know, like in the back and talking, there's definitely a cinematic quality to those. So I think there's something that he can definitely project about realism. So having, you know, figures as strong as Taz and Sting and those things and someone like Darby Allin who just photographs so well, you know, I think it's a really strong, really exciting prospect. So I'm definitely looking forward to it.
So me as well. Great to see like, Sting here, and Taz kind of in these roles, put over the young talents. I admit AEW's kind of been awkward at times, and then tonight we talk about cinematic matches. MLW, kind of attempted to do one with Mil Muertes against Savio Vega, OG 90s wrestler there. But, yeah, it was just really came off the wrong way. But, yeah, I really did enjoy how the Undertaker-AJ Styles match and kind of almost the psychedelic trip that was John Cena versus Bray Wyatt. I really liked that. It was a lot of fun. I know a lot of my wrestling purist friends have unfriended me. But yeah, I enjoy the unpredictable weirdness. Sometimes it is pro wrestling.
Yeah. Well, I think, like, some people lose sight of the fact that, you know, not all wrestling is supposed to be for everyone. Like, there's so many different elements to it, and, you know, there's no right way or wrong way as long as no one's getting hurt, like, actually hurt. Like, you know, it's you know, whether it's something like the strong style in Japan, the Lucha Libre in Mexico, or any other one of the realms in between, like, you know, it's like a King's Road sort of thing, it's all the one common denominator is that getting that, pulling that reaction from a crowd. So if that could be done in something, you know, cinematically now, especially during these times where we're all at home and there are no crowds, like, it's still, it falls under the same boat. And it's really not that different from, you know, having shows that, you know, would be pre-taped and then it's cut around for the camera angle, or they go and they do another, a retake of something in the ring, like, you know, those old SmackDowns where Vince would send guys back out there again and these things would be sliced together. Like, I mean, granted, a lot of those didn't involve, you know, someone breathing fire and transforming in person, but, well, actually some of it, but the when it comes down to it, like, it's all about these different realms of suspension of disbelief. Like, you know, and it doesn't have to be for everyone, and that's fine. That doesn't say anything about the person's personal taste. It doesn't say anything about the product that's being presented. There's just so many different options now for it. And, you know, and again, I like so much of what's happening right now. You know, there's some stuff I like more than other stuff. There's stuff, too, that, you know, just doesn't necessarily do it for me, but, you know, it doesn't hurt me or the stuff that I enjoy that stuff is in existence. So, yeah, you know, and if it involves more wrestlers in the industry, you know, getting paid and, you know, more money being and notoriety for wrestling in general, like, yeah, you know, there's really no downside to it as long as people aren't, you know, at risk for COVID as it happens. So that's the number one concern right now.
Certainly. Yeah. Some great points there. That's one thing that's come to me watching these shows. Like, I've really enjoyed both. Like, I like certain elements of AEW. I like certain elements of NXT. I like certain elements of what MLW. And there's things that I don't like. But I'm not, like, I think a lot of these, like the modern-day journals, the clickbait stuff where they're trying to feed to that AEW versus NXT. And I think they play it up. It's part of it. Part of that fan base, too, I guess. Yeah. What do you think about this whole Sammy Guevara news? Have you heard about the Sammy Guevara news this week?
About how he was backstage at Impact?
Yeah, and how he turned down this role and is facing heat and whatnot. What do you feel about that situation?
I think I wouldn't rule out this all being part of a giant work shoot. You know, because, like, he was supposed to be in what Black Tauros is, right, with Rosemary and Crazy Steve.
Yeah, that's the word out
and
right now. But yeah.
Yeah, and but, like, I don't even see how that would make sense but of course, I mean, I think Crazy Steve and Rosemary are two of the most underrated performers in the entire medium, and they can and have made anything and everything work really well, so they could probably find a way to it. But, you know, I'm glad to see Taurus on a North American promotion, and I think he fits the decay so well. So, yeah, you know, maybe this is just, you know, planting the seeds for things further down the line for a giant, you know, Secret Wars, War of the Multiverses. But, yeah, that's a thing now. It's when people talk about the, you know, the new kayfabe versus, you know, the new, you know, what's a work shoot, what's a straightforward storyline. And, you know, as the fact that we didn't get it referenced on air is at least making it not doing, like, you know, one of those, you know, late 90s, he's going off the script sort of thing. So, which I really don't enjoy
Paul
when those
Hogan
happen. For the, yeah.
Russo's back.
Yeah, exactly. So, it'd be interesting to see what happens. Like, there's, I really don't know. It's one of those things where it's like, if it is part of a thing, cool. Cause you know, if there is like some grandmaster plan for it, there's so little that sort of come out about it. And, you know, I can't even like start to speculate on something like that. So, if it was a thing and it resulted though in like as much as I enjoy Sammy's work, but if it was something that now resulted in Tarus being on TV, then cool. You know, it's like it's a happy accident, I guess. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely intrigued, excited that perhaps it, another level to be able to blur the lines with all these promotions working mm-hmm. together.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, I was kind of let down that Edge didn't show up either. Like, I was really excited to see him show up on NXT and kind of tease that. Felt like he could have been like Charlotte did with the women's title in NXT. Kind of elevated. And they kind of teased that.
Well,
so kind of disappointed.
I think if they were going to do something like that, they should have just gone like all out and have like Miz cash in and get the NXT belt from Finn and then have us for the NXT belt at Mania, make it Edge versus Miz. Just because why not? Just, right. You know, throw everything against the wall and let's see it. So.
I like it.
But
cool to see them develop that. Today, breaking news that NXT has announced, or they're moving closer towards having that second show, rumored to be
mm-hmm.
Called Evolve. Interested to see what that might become, as well as NXT has become ultimately a third brand and more,
mm-hmm.
you know, people argue that it's become more of a third brand than this developmental territory than it originally was.
Yeah.
I definitely think that's
probably the case, like, especially now that it's, you know, a two-hour show on USA. Like, I don't know if you've heard Chris Hero's podcast, which is a phenomenal listen, but he talks about, because he was in both the stints of, you know, the first class at the Performance Center, NXT, when NXT first started, and then also the when he came back to it, it was when things were, you know, and he was there for the launching of the NXT on USA. And, you know, when you think about it, too, it's like there's not a whole lot of difference between, especially now during the pandemic, of NXT and the main roster. And, you know, if it's a developmental thing, but, you know, Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, these are guys who've been in the developmental roster for 4 years now. Like, you know, I don't know how much more they're going to develop. Like, I think they're ready for Monday nights, but it's so it is pretty curious. Like, and I think the fact that they do have so much contracted talent, having something like the NXT Evolve, you know, just a different place to show them off is, you know, it's not a bad thing. Like, yeah, there's, you know, ultimately so much wrestling on TV right now. You know, 205 Live is on, and, you know, there's a main event as well too. Like, it's funny when you think in the 90s, it used to be if you watched 5 hours of wrestling a week, you were considered, you know, one of the hardcore fanatics. And now, like, if you watch 5 hours a week, you're watching not even everything WWE puts out that week, as opposed to watching all the wrestling in North America. So, but I was a fan of the first incarnation of Evolve when it was a company that didn't have a title, and it was just, you know, really based on, like, really heavy on, like, the wins and losses. That was a really refreshing time, like, around, like, 2011, 2012, and so much great talent, like, popped on radars from that when you look at, you know, things like El Generico or Samurai del Sol, who's now Kalisto. You know, there's a lot of, like, really great showcases on that, and it felt just different and cool, and I still enjoy the later of all the stuff, but I'm excited to see what someone like Gabe Sapolsky is going to be running Evolve again with the work he's done at NXT, with him having a full promotion entirely to himself on a WWE budget. So
yeah, that'd be
so yeah. I
that'd be great.
I'm definitely excited about it.
It'd be great seeing like a OVW or like when they try to recreate ECW type of that level promotion. But yeah, like you said, ran by Gabe, or maybe as that next developmental territory. Here, we got a couple minutes left, man. Breakneck, he had to cancel here tonight, but I'm hoping we can reschedule and perhaps do a pro wrestling freestyle special in the future. Would you be interested in doing that?
Hey, that'd be fun. Obviously, you know, for us to get something we got happening, you know. It's always fun, you know. It's enjoying the freestyle realms, the wrestling realms, and those worlds can combine. It saves me a lot of time, so it's that'd be cool.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Yeah, definitely. I've been thinking about that all week. I was like, oh, this is going to be fun. I got these two guys with the history, freestyling and battle rapping, maybe do a fun King of the Ring or a Royal Rumble style, lyrically throw each other over the top.
There you go, yeah.
But yeah,
have a coal miner's glove. Yeah. But yeah, Breakneck's awesome. If anyone's listening to this not familiar with Breakneck's work, definitely check out his music and check out the No Coast Battle. He runs the Minnesota wing of it. He really puts together some really fantastic events. So if you're looking for rap battles in Minnesota, once the pandemic ends and everything reopens, I can't recommend him enough. I always try to like bring people to him just because they are so fun.
Awesome. And we got like a minute left. Anything left you want to plug of your own or anything you're working on right now?
Right now, I just want to plug me on Twitter at Chaz Raps, Instagram at Chaz Raps. Anywhere you can type the 8 magic letters, Chaz Raps, you can reach me. I am working on a new album, and hopefully it is good. No, it's going to be a good album. It's going to be good. So, but yeah, everyone stay safe, wear a mask, be considerate of others, wash your hands, don't, you know, go to parties right now. Like, just, you know, the end is in sight for all this, and so hopefully this time next year, we'll all be able to, you know, party at a wrestling show in person.
Awesome, man. Chaz Kangas, everybody, thank you for joining us here tonight. Forever grateful.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm happy to help kick the show off right in State of Pro Wrestling. You know, click like, subscribe. Have a good night, y'all. Be easy.
Awesome, man. Just want to thank all the fans for tuning in tonight. We'll do some jump over to Facebook Live later tonight and take a closer look at that MLW King Mo versus Low Key match. Very interested in that. And then, like we said, this Sunday, we will be there at First Wrestling, checking out, reporting on everything that's going on there. Top Flight will be there, as well as a ton of other Warhorse, Jake Parnell, JDX challenging for the independent wrestling TV title. But we got to get going. This is the State of Pro Wrestling podcast every Wednesday, 8 Eastern, 7 Central, here, Open Talk 313 The Flash, here on Blog Talk Radio. Woo! It's the State of Pro Wrestling show. Bet you can't bend and touch your toes. Oh no, that was terrible. Bye.